A t-shirt and jeans, mac and cheese. Some things in life are an obvious match, like RIAs and Schwab Advisor Services, the number one choice for independent advisors. The difference is so obvious, it's Schwabvious. Learn why at Schwabvious.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
And give a motivational speech in the afternoon each day. He was a running backs coach at the time by the name of Derek Foster. Coach Foster came up there, toughness and pushing through. He got real razzed up as his speech progressed. We had a video coordinator named Rocky. He finishes his speech and he goes, "Hit it, Rock!" And set it off by Boosie Badass playing. As a young white man, it was my first time hearing that song, Set It Off. Yeah, we finna set it off. You heard me? I'm finna put you in the trash bag. Tired of all these knowing me right now, for real. You wanna talk shit? You wanna run your mouth? You want some gangster to strut your mother in the house? We are set this job. Yeah. And that was my first time hearing Set It Off. At Samford University, it was the third or fourth week of camp. We were about where teams are right now. Right before the season, everybody's pissing and moaning. We had a different coach come up and give a motivational speech in the afternoon each day. He was a running backs coach at the time by the name of Derek Foster. Coach Foster came up there, toughness and pushing through. He got real razzed up as his speech progressed. We had a video coordinator named Rock.
What up? What up? What going on, boo? Got a little extra juice. A little extra. Hello, dog. Come here, dog. Come here, dog. Welcome back, boys and girls, on this beautiful, funky Friday. You want to talk shit? You want to run your mouth? You want some gangster to stretch your house? We have set this bitch off, baby. Yeah. Come here, Jasper. Right here, buddy. Right here, buddy. Right here, buddy. This damn dog now. I tell you what, man, this damn dog and these damn Cincinnati Bengals, baby. You know what I'm talking about? Listen, the defense looked terrible. The defense looked horrible. DJ Turner, listen, he got cooked on that first drive, boy. He got cooked on that out-and-up route. DK Metcalf was a non-factor for most of the game other than that play, brother. And we forced a couple turnovers. Look, if the Bengals turn that football over one time, Pittsburgh's winning that thing. If they turn it, if we turned it over once, Pittsburgh's winning that thing. But instead, we forced two turnovers. Joe Flacco, 342 yards passing, three touchdowns, no interceptions. Jamar Chase sets a franchise record, 16 catches, 161 yards, and a tub. T. Higgins, 91 yards, don't know how many catches, but less than 16, one tub. Should have been two tub, but he makes a smart decision. He gets down, and the Bengals with a minute and a half left, run that clock down to 7 seconds. Evan McPherson kick. Certainly seems like Evan McPherson's back. We had some major kicking struggles with this Bengals team last year. You guys remember we had Cade York there for a little bit, and he had a field goal that was about that long on a primetime game against Denver late last season. Any Bengals fan knows which game I'm talking about. Cade York, I believe, at the end of regulation, game tied, had a field goal equal to or lesser than the look that Evan McPherson had last night and hits the upright, and we go to overtime, win it on a prayer. T. Higgins balled that game, made that white corner over in Denver look really white, right? So Evan McPherson, man, looking sharp, looking reliable again like he was when we had the Super Bowl run. I think it goes without saying, I'm back in on this team. I'm back in on this team. And you guys have to understand something about me and the way I handle my relationship with my Bengals. It's all about being bipolar. It's all about being bipolar. Listen, after that first drive when Pittsburgh marched down and got that touchdown, and Aaron Rodgers had, I think, 8 seconds to throw or something. Listen, man. Listen. I texted every group chat I could to proactively protect my emotions, and I said, we suck. It's over. We fucking suck. And so, that's how I deal with it. I think anybody in here that's a Bengals fan understands what we've been through, okay? So even on that last Hail Mary play with 3 seconds left, Aaron Rodgers hurls it 67.8 air yards, according to Amazon Web Cloud Services stats or whatever the fuck that shit's called, boy. 67. That's I believe a ball hasn't been thrown that far for at least 10 years. Statistically. And I mean, who the hell knows how much they've tracked that over the years. But that ball traveled 67.8 yards in the air, and I was puckered. I was puckered up when Aaron Rodgers rolled out to the left to do his signature Hail Mary. My butthole was tight. You know what I'm saying? Because I think as Cincinnati fans, we're not used to winning games like this. We're not used to it. We're always in the back of our mind. I think Kirk Herbstreit said this on the broadcast when it was 24-30. Kirk Herbstreit said he was in he's a Reds fan, and Al Michaels called Reds games with Joe Nuxall for years. You got Joe Nuxall way down there on the ballpark down there at Cincy. Joe Nuxall way. He's rounding third and heading home. The legendary, the Cincinnati legend, Joe Nuxall. Okay. I'd love to call games one day, man. I think that's our whole path here.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
I'd really like to be the guy calling one of those games one day. I don't even care if it's baseball. I'd call women's volleyball right now. You know what I mean? But eventually, if I could call football games, I think that would be pretty cool to do and something I'd be interested in doing. So what was I saying? Kirk Herbstreit, he's a Reds fan, and he's in a Reds group chat called Pain. They call it Pain. And they're always texting in the Reds group chat. They're like, oh, fuck, these motherfuckers gonna piss it away again. And he was just kind of saying, talking about how the people of Cincinnati have been through this shit before where the unthinkable happens. And he said when it was 24-30, he said, I know that every white shirt in the building tonight, it was a whiteout in Cincinnati. He said, I know every white shirt in the building tonight has it in the back of their mind that that they might walk out of here 31-30. And sure enough, Pat Freiermuth looked like the best tight end in football last night. Pittsburgh's got 8,000 tight ends, by the way. I kind of love it. And their offense is humming. The Bengals defense literally couldn't tackle a disabled kid in a wheelchair, it seemed at times. Demetrius Knight, our promising rookie, got benched last night. Logan Wilson stepping in and got a ton of reps. He still got the C on his shirt, and I still believe his presence out there, even if he's not producing like he used to, is valuable. But, I mean, this Steelers defense, how much money is it worth? $175 million? $179 million? I don't think the Bengals have gotten enough credit in the discourse today. The Bengals offense, at least. Every Steelers fan wants to dump on Tomlin. They want to dump on the Steelers defense. We paid this defense all this money, and they can't bust a grape. I get the frustration, but you got to put some respect on it, man. You're literally looking at arguably one of the best duos of wide receivers in NFL history. Already one of the best duos, wide receiver duos, most talented for sure. Stats and legacy are still loading, right? But talent, ability, God-given. T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, name a better duo in league history. There's probably a few, but if you look at top five, I in terms of raw ability, when have there been four other instances in league history where you've had a better duo of receivers than T. Higgins and Jamar Chase? I'm trying to think, and a lot of what I'm saying is clouded by bias. I'm a fan of my hometown team. Some people could call me a homer. Union Gamino 3D, thank you for the follow. Aha. So, where was I going with that? You got to put some respect on the Bengals, man. I know we've looked booty cheeks. I've been down on the organization. I've been frustrated. In no shape or form did I ever conceive that this organization would make the change at quarterback that they've made. In no galaxy. I tweeted this last night. It was Joe Flacco and Jamar Chase sitting next to each other on Thursday night podium. If you told me this was real life, I'm talking about this picture of Joe and Jamar sitting together, Joe in a Bengals shirt, obviously. If you told me this was going on in early September, that this would be, I'd be, you know what I mean? I think everybody would. But again, and I had some people on TikTok. You know, I'm kind of pissed this video I posted from yesterday's episode didn't do more numbers. But my prediction for the game last night on yesterday's show was spot on. People were asking me if I had psychic powers. They were asking me what my picks were for this weekend because they want to make some money. And I had to tell these motherfuckers I didn't make a red cent off of this. Why did my shit go? Here, I'm going to have to fix that real quick, boys. Cody, what up, boy? I'm going to have to fix this, man. Look at this. This is what happens when you're a one-man operation. Are we back on? Yep, we're good. So anyways, boys, what was I talking about? Put some respect on the Bengals offense. I predicted the game to a T on yesterday's show. Evan McPherson, game-winning field goal. I predicted it. You know what I'm saying? But I didn't make a red cent off of it because, like I said in yesterday's episode, I feel like betting's a psyop. And I mean, God, but I wish I would have bet. I wish I would have bet. Some bastard bet all this crazy shit that ended up happening. I saw the bet slip. It was like a $5 bet that won 10 grand. It was like Bengals money line. Crazy passing yards for Joe Flacco. T touchdown, Jamar touchdown. Like all these. There were a couple more crazy ones that I couldn't think of that I can't think of right now. But the Steelers, they got 6,000 tight ends. They got Washington. They got Freiermuth. They got Connor Hayward. Feel like they got one other guy that I'm not thinking of right now. But one thing that I was really confused by, perplexed by, they were talking on McAfee's show yesterday about his name's Darnell Washington, I believe, right? Darnell? It's not. I have a friend named Montrell Washington who also played in the league. It's not Montrell. It's Darnell Washington out of the University of Georgia. And McAfee was talking about him yesterday, said the guy was 315 pounds, and I was like, that's insane for a tight end, right? 6'7", 315. So I Googled it. Google machine says that the guy's 265 pounds. That's a big difference. And then when you hopped in the game broadcast, they're talking about all this beef that the Steelers got on the edges. And we then look at my boy here saying they don't even have an exact weight for him on the broadcast. They listed him at 300 plus pounds. Are we keeping his weight secret? Do I need to start?
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Putting on my Hinge profile that I'm 6 foot plus. You know, I'm 6 foot plus, dude. Could mean a lot of things. Like Washington could be 350 and we wouldn't know. So I've never seen this with a player before. It's almost like professional wrestling when they say where is Kane from? And it says parts unknown. It's almost like this guy's a fictional character. It's like they don't want you to know that he was created in a lab, and that's why he's able to haul it like a thoroughbred at 300-plus pounds. Guy scored a touchdown last night. I told a story about when I saw him playing in person for Georgia and noticing how massive this guy was from the top part of the lower bowl in SoFi Stadium down there in Inglewood, California. 300 plus pounds. You're telling me that the production crew just dropped the ball on one guy's exact weight? Are you telling me that Mike Tomlin tells this guy to house 4 cheeseburgers a day before noon because no matter how big he gets, he can still tote the rock and be a force? I don't know. They talked about this on the broadcast last night. I don't know who you put on this guy to cover him. Linebacker's too small. Safety's definitely too small. Everybody's too small to cover this guy. Everybody's too small to cover him. What are you going to put Trey Hendrickson in? Man, he didn't play last night. You're going to put Trey Hendrickson, but they do play him in, you got the Bears, you got the Jets next week at home, and we'll look at the schedule. Actually, let's just look at it now. You got the Bears at home next week, the Jets at home next week. You got the Bears at home week after that. You got a bye, and then you go back to Pittsburgh. So, dude, I'm telling, I look at this schedule, and I truly believe, brothers, I truly believe that the Bengals will go into the bye week at 5-4. You get a week's rest. Joe Flacco is only going to get more comfortable in this offense. He already looks pretty comfortable. You know what I'm saying? He's already doing what he needs to do for this ball club. And so this is what's so, like, I think playing the way they play, like at Pittsburgh, it's going to be a tough one, but I think it's winnable. New England at home. I might be trying to go to that one. Did I hear that I heard that the Bengals have a Thanksgiving game. I'm not sure if that's correct. I don't have that many people in the chat to let me know. That's okay. I got the headline and everything hashed out, and we're here on a Friday. Everybody's having drinks. Everybody's having margaritas. I understand it. And in fact, too, Miami is the U. They're playing Louisville right now. And I love being here with you guys, but I'm also going to love when I go offline and can sit down and watch that game. I think Louisville was winning before we went live here. Louisville and Miami, sneaky good game. And I would have told you, again, this has no validity because last time I checked, Louisville's winning, so it would be really easy for me to say this, but I'm dead-ass serious when I say that I would have told you Louisville's got a good team, and this is going to be an upset alert for Miami. So that game's going to be talked about a lot if Louisville ends up winning that. But look at this, man. So let's say, okay, Bengals win next two, going to the bye week at 5-4. You got Pittsburgh, you got New England, you got at Baltimore, at Buffalo. That's easily, I can't even read that. That's easily the toughest stretch on the season, though. Let's see. What game is that? Oh, Miami. Oh, yeah, which is, so they play at Miami in Christmas time, too, and what's sick about that is I go down to South Florida. You guys don't. Well, you might care. I go down to South Florida during Christmas time, and I go to the Dolphins game at Christmas time every year, so I might be able to watch the boys down in South Florida. But you got to finish up the season at Miami, Arizona at home, Cleveland on the road. So that's three more dubs, I think. So that puts you at 8 wins. Okay, and then if you just find a way to win 2 games in the stretch, in that 1-2-3-4 game stretch, where you play Baltimore twice, you got New England, and you got at Pittsburgh. If you can find a, so if 3 wins to end the season puts you at 8 wins, assuming we win the next 2 games. That puts you at 8 wins. And then if you just win 1 or 2 games in that 2-4-5 game stretch, you go 2-3. I think they could do better than that. I think they could snag 3 of those games. 4 is lofty. But, I mean, the defense has got to get it figured out. The defense has got to learn, figure out, do what they got to do to make tackles. They got to put the personnel out there to make some tackles. What else do we have? I really might cut you guys loose
early so that we can all watch this Miami versus Florida game. Obviously, while we're still here online, watch the podcast, okay? Don't leave me. We only got like 3 viewers in this bitch right now anyway, which is fine. It's fine. Don't leave me, please. But when we go offline, you guys should all tune into the Miami-Louisville game. I was shocked, Trump hands. I was shocked to see that game going on a Friday night. The high school football, it's not. It's a high-quality game, you know? So it's like I didn't quite understand that. What else do we got here? Notes. I'll give you guys some predictions for this week's pro slate, and I will also give you guys my predictions for each SEC game that's going down this weekend. We only cover the SEC on this show for the most part because it's the best conference in college football. It's the closest thing to the realest version of college. It is the realest version of college football. But we're SEC supremacists over here. It's the best conference in the land. Another meaningful statistic that stood out to me from the Pittsburgh Steelers side, 56 consecutive regular season games with 7 or fewer points in the first quarter. Brad Stevens, win live stream. Thank you, brother. He says he's going to miss me tonight. Honey, boo, boo, bear. Hold on. God, I wish I had the timing for that, but I was going to. Oh, wait. I was going to do this. God damn it, timing's so off now. Yeah. Honey boo boo bear. Damn it, I wish I had the timing on that nailed down. That's why we gotta have a producer on this show, man. But I gotta get a bunch of subs so that we make some money so that I could hire a team. Because then the comedic timing would have been on. It would have been right there. I love that sound. I love a good sound. Trump hands. I love a good soundboard. We got a lot of people. Is it sharp inhale? You know what I mean? Trump hands. A great soundboard. This guy, this big, powerful guy. He's the most elite soundboard operator. He's a big, big guy. Sorry. Yes. Okay. I did it again. When I'm thinking of something to say, I go like, it might be what Trump does too. You know what I'm saying? Okay. But yeah, you guys are going to get my NFL Week 7 predictions, and you get my college football Week 8 predictions for the SEC, because it's the only real conference that's out there, big dogs. It's the only one. So, to sum it up, man, I'm really thrilled about this Bengals team. It's hard not to be after you beat your arch division rival, who is at the top of the division, and you're 2-0 in the division. Because that's what matters, man. I was thinking about this. I was like, dude, if the Bengals or any other team completely swept the AFC North. Let's say they beat the Steelers twice, they beat the Ravens twice, they beat the Browns twice. That's 6 wins. And this doesn't apply to the Bengals because they've already won games outside of the division. They beat the Jags in week 2, and that's it right now. But let's say you only won those 6 games. Does that team at 6-11 make the playoffs? Why don't we ask, and I don't want the connection to, if you guys see any lagging, let me know. I'm going to ask this to ChatGPT. Okay. We're typing this live. I would share my screen, but it really fucks up the quality of the stream. So, let's say, I'm coming up with this in real time. Let's say that an NFL team won all 6 of their division games, but they lose the other 11. Do they make the playoffs? And again, this doesn't apply. And I, well, actually, and then I'll ask,
Is there ever in NFL history a case of this happening? Okay, let's see what it says. Let's break it down logically and historically. If an NFL team wins all six division games and loses the other 11, the record 6-11, we know that. Now, here's what that means. Division winners automatically make the playoffs. Wild card teams are determined by best overall records after. We know that. So the key is, would they be good enough to win? But I asked about playoffs. Do they make the playoffs? Could it happen? Extremely unlikely, but theoretically possible. Here's why. If every other team in the division went 5-12 or worse, then yes, a 6-11 team could win the division. For that to occur, the division would have to completely cannibalize itself, with all teams losing most of their out-of-division games. So, mathematically possible, but has never happened and almost certainly never will. The worst records ever to make the NFL playoffs. I remember this 2010 Seattle Seahawks team at 7-9. They won, and then they beat the Saints in that wild card game where Marshawn Lynch had that crazy run where he was throwing everybody off him and then grabbed his nuts as he dove into the end zone. Panthers at 7-8-1 in 2014. Won the NFC South, and then they won a playoff game versus the Cardinals. And then in 2020, Washington Redskins 7-9. Looks like I remember the NFC East was ass for a couple years there. Hosted Buccaneers and wild card loss. No team with fewer than 7 wins has ever made the playoffs since the merger. Interesting. So again, 6-11 division winner, mathematically possible, but would require a historically bad division. Well, if at this point in the year there was any division that would could be historically bad, it would be the AFC North. Which pains me to say, historically it's the best division in football. We are AFC North supremacists here as well. But that case is not looking good. I think that indicates parity in pro football, though. I think this NFL season is the first season in a long time where there's really not the team. You know, people are trying to get this Kansas City shit going again. It's really pissing me off, you know, because I liked when they were irrelevant the first couple weeks of the year here. I really enjoyed it. They got the Raiders this weekend, and we'll predict what happens in that game. Mystic Dupe, they call me. What else, man? We're at about 30 minutes. We just out here killing time, man. I ain't got... It's Friday. You ain't got no job. You ain't got no... You guys know that movie? Good movie. All right. Sometimes when I drop a line like that, I envision myself doing stand-up and like, bombing. And just... All right. Next fucking joke. All right. Okay. What else, man? Look. There was a clip from last night after the Freiermuth touchdown where Aaron Rodgers did his unk celebration. You guys know he gets that running start. He skips and he does a skip and then he does that.
You've finally broken loose from work. 3 friends, 1 tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call. Because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
He's the only guy that can pull off that Sully, let me tell you. And even so, I mean, it's beat. It's really beat. But he does a Sully. And then Mekhi Becton, the left tackle, number 77, the guy that's supposed to be protecting him, tackles him from behind. And Aaron Rodgers pops up. He's like shoving him. He's like, what the fuck? And rightfully so. I'm shocked that Mekhi Becton didn't get, or not Mekhi Becton. What's the guy's fucking name? 77, the left tackle for Pittsburgh. It's not Mekhi Becton. Reminds me of him, though, big bastard. What's that guy's name, man? Steelers left tackle. Broderick Jones, man. Why does he remind me? I think it's a big, scary black man. It reminds me of Mekhi Becton. He's He's not with New York anymore. He was with the Jets. Now he's with a team that's a contender, I believe. Mekhi Becton. Who's he with? Philly. He's with Philly. So, yeah, Broderick Jones tackled him from behind. And there are people online. Look, man, anybody, there's people online. So Rodgers was, like, pissed. And he shoved Jones. He was like, what the fuck? He was pissed. And there's people online right now that are saying Aaron Rodgers is an asshole. I can see why he's difficult as a teammate. He doesn't care about the team. Like, all this crazy nonsense. Anybody that thinks that or thinks that way has never been around football at a high level. Ever. It's a telltale giveaway because I had a practice one time. I've told this story on the show. I had a practice one time. I was feeling it. I was having a good practice. I was getting home to the quarterback a good bit in practice as a scout. And I come off the edge clean. And in at least in college, I think we took care of the quarterback in high school too. In college, the quarterbacks wear different color jerseys for in practice for a reason. You don't touch them. But in a college practice or a pro practice, if you come off clean like I did, you either try to make a play on the ball or just tag his hip, right? Just tap the hip. And they'll give you the sack in practice, right? So I come off the edge clean, and I see my boy winding up to throw it. So I'm like, oh, shit, I'm going to try and get that. You know what I'm saying? And I leave my feet with my hands up, and I miscalculated, and he threw his throwing arm. His throwing arm went right in. A wrist hit, and it made a big noise. And oh, my God, I got an ass-chewing for that. I got an ass-chewing for that. The D-line coach comes up to me, of all people, and he's like, you take food off my fucking table when you do shit like that, motherfucker. And I was like, damn. All right, I ain't going to touch the quarterback. So I was shocked when I saw Mekhi Becton literally tackle a 41-year-old quarterback in celebration. I was shocked that he didn't have a head coach, or sorry, any coach, literally jump his ass for that. If I was a coach on the Steelers staff, I'd probably be scared of that guy, Broderick Jones. He's a big bastard, big scary bastard. Maybe that's why no one got in his grill, because they knew he would just shove him back and they would be fucked, you know. But I was shocked that nobody jumped his ass, and there are people online defending that. That, I mean, it was retarded. It was so stupid. It was so dumb. Not Mekhi Becton. Yeah, I know. I don't know why I got them confused. I got them mixed up. Two big black tackles. Scary. You know, I just got them mixed up. Broderick Jones. It was ridiculous. It was so dumb. Like, in pro football, you get benched for something like that in a low-level college game. But this is Aaron Rodgers, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and he's 41! He's made of mothballs, dude. And he gets tackled from behind in celebration. It's the most ridiculous shit I've ever seen. So there are people saying, like, Aaron Rodgers is a dick. He's a bad teammate. I could tell why he doesn't like his family or whatever. It's like, dude, that's crazy. That's crazy. Anybody who takes that stance online, I know that you weren't around football at a high level. And therefore, I'm not going to listen to you speak on football. It's ridiculous. Okay? And we've also got, this is Narrative Friday. These are the narratives that we're seeing
Narrative Friday. A lot of Chargers fans in my mentions. Why Chargers fans, do you ask? Well, these folks tend to take any chance they get to try and compare Justin Herbert to the greatest quarterback of our generation, Mr. Joseph Lee Burrow. They take every chance they get. It's really weird. They've got some kind of chip on their shoulder because maybe the Chargers haven't had the playoff success that they've expected. Maybe it's because they can't even have a majority of fans in their home building on game days. LA teams seem to have a problem with that. I'd rather go to the chic fashion festival and then go to the beach and get some sun. You know, it's like that. Wearing their fucking... I shouldn't be making fun of hats right now. I think I'm stunting in this hat. And the other thing too is I'm not gonna stop wearing this hat until the Bengals have made the playoffs or until Joseph Lee Burrow is back. This is my Unk hat, and we're riding with Unk. Joe Flacco, Joe Calm, all right? But a lot of people are using the success that Mr. Flacco had last night to create a narrative that anybody could throw to Chase and T. Higgins. This just shows that all this talk about Burrow shows that he's a system quarterback. Hey. It's crazy. I don't see any Bengals fans even mentioning Justin Herbert. You don't see it. Why? Because we know that our guy is the best quarterback in this generation and probably in football. It's not even worth a discussion. I spent a couple of minutes today rage baiting a Chargers fan. I don't believe this, but I wanted to just rage bait a little bit. And I said, he was saying some bullshit about Burrow being a system quarterback, whatever. And I responded to him. I said, I would have still taken Tua over Herbert in this draft class. And this kid starts responding with screenshots of a Tua Herbert. This man took the time to get on Pro Football Reference, create a comparison between Tua and Herbert, and then screenshot it and respond to my tweet with it. And he was like, you go back to pre-K, you're dead brain, idiot, all this stuff. And I said, brother, I was rage baiting you. I don't believe that. But the fact that he made it an actual, he made an actual discussion tells me that that's something you're concerned about. And Tua's ass. You know what I'm saying? Tua's ass. I was rage baiting him, and he took it serious. And that tells me all I need to know. I don't need to get into statistics. I don't need to get into the fact that Herbert hadn't even won a playoff game, to my knowledge. Maybe he's won. I don't know if he's won any or not. I'm pretty sure he hasn't. But if he has, it's like one or two. Never sniffed an AFC championship. Never sniffed a Super Bowl. I could say all that. But the fact that the narrative spinning is crazy. It's fun. And I love rage baiting mentally vulnerable fans. stop it. Stop it. You know what I mean? Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm fired up about the win. 3-4 is a completely different galaxy than 2-5. And the Bengals have two. They got an easy game next week to get them back to 500. Jets at home. No game's easy in pro football, but as easy can be, right? And then you got the Bears, who have been playing well. Don't think they're even close to as good of a team as the Bengals. But they have a great defense. Caleb Williams is trash, I think, dude. I don't think I'll ever be able to buy. We'll see. I shouldn't say never, but I think it'll be pretty unlikely that I ever buy Caleb Williams being a franchise quarterback. So you go into the bye week 5-4. You got three easy at Cleveland, or sorry, Cleveland at home. Won't be easy. Well, let's hope. Anyways, I got a good outlook for the season, and I'm excited. It's a good dub. So let's go ahead and get some picks off for week 7 NFL. We'll get our picks off for week 8 of college football in the SEC, and then I'm going to let you guys run because I really want to watch this Miami-Louisville game, whatever's left of it. I think it was close to half when we went live. Okay, first game, 6:30 a.m. my time, 9:30 Eastern, Rams at Jags in London. This is the first international game since week 1 that I've been interested in. Not sure if I'm going to, maybe I'll wake up and try and catch it, but a good one nonetheless. You got Liam Cohen, who spent a lot of time in LA under Sean McVay, the head coach of the Jags. And the Jags look to respond coming off a loss. And the Rams, again, are quietly one of the best run teams in football. Matthew Stafford and McVay have some of the best chemistry I have seen between a play caller and a quarterback. And I think that's the recipe there is time. And a lot of times NFL stands for not for long, whether you're a coach or a player. So McVay's obviously got that tenure with the Rams, and Stafford's been there a minute, and they have great chemistry. I've got the Rams in that game. I wish I had point spreads, but I do not. Eagles at Vikings. Look, the Eagles are going to be in absolute shambles if they find a way to lose this game. They will be in the worst shape they will have been in years if they lose this game. And it seems like they're already spiraling internally a bit. Carson Wentz will be the starter. I feel like Minnesota is kicking themselves letting Sam Darnold go, who is a top five passer in the NFL right now. Give me the Vikings! Sending the Philadelphia Eagles into a downward spiral. I'm not hating. I just don't like what I'm seeing from them. What's the OC's name? Petullo? They haven't gotten that chemistry down with Jalen Hurts, and I'm not sure if he's going to be around long enough to establish that chemistry. A.J. Brown just might request a trade from Philadelphia this season. That's been rumored for a couple weeks now. Philadelphia's in bad shape. I don't necessarily believe in Carson Wentz. I haven't seen Hudae, hear that Bengal prowling. Lean and angry. Somebody in the chat. Purcell. Ha, my dog. I hope I say that right, by the way. So, yeah, give me the Vikings over the Eagles, man. It's in Minnesota as well.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Yes, the Bengals will win the Super Bowl. I totally agree. All right, we got Panthers at Jets. No, I'm just kidding. The Panthers, they've shown some life the last couple weeks. I think a lot of people have gotten down on them a little too fast, and they might have a decent team. They got a top five rusher in the league in Rico Dowdle. Rico Dowdle and Javonte Williams, two top five rushers through 6 weeks of the NFL season. Give me the Panthers there. The Jets fall to 0-7. I'd almost like to see the Jets get a win for the Bengals' sake. I'd almost like to see that, because then the guys in the Jets facility, they'll start feeling a little full. They say, we got us a dub, man. We ain't gotta really practice that hard this week, man. And then the Bengals get an easy win. I think regardless of what happens in this Panthers-Jets game, the Bengals will beat the Jets next week. But the Bengals will have 10 days to prepare for the Jets and it's in Cincinnati. So, yeah, give me the Panthers there. But I wouldn't be shocked at all if the Jets found a way to upset the Panthers. Again, I think the Panthers are looking good. The Jets are looking bad. I'm hearing in certain circles that the Jets are one of the worst coached teams that – other coaches I've ever seen in the league. Aaron Glenn, don't know if he's ready to have taken on that head coaching role. Let's take a look. Pats at Titans. Mike Vrabel returns back to Nashville after his team has started out 4-2. Drake May's production has already exceeded that of Mac Jones when he started his time as the top draft pick, hopeful franchise quarterback of the New England Patriots back when Mac Jones was drafted. Drake Mays exceeded the production there in the same amount of games already. So this Titans organization, total disaster. Mike Vrabel's going to be pissed, motivated. He's going to want to show Titans owner Miss Amy Shrunk what she's missing. Amy Adams Shrunk, the most, if not one of the most incompetent owners in professional football. I got the Pats. Dolphins at Browns. You know what I mean? Give me the Browns in that one. Browns are pissed off. They're frustrated. There's a radio host in Cleveland. What's his freaking name, man? He's an Italian guy, I think. Oh, his clips are so funny. So funny. Oh, God, what's his name? But he's been ranting about the Browns. He's had like two or three viral clips ranting about the Browns this week alone. Give me the Browns in that one. Dolphins are spiraling. Commanders at Cowboys. Cowboys coming off a tough loss to Carolina. Carolina, I think, is a better team than people give them credit for. They got Rico Dowdle back there, who clearly had a chip on his shoulder about how Mr. Jerry Jones treated him on the way out of Dallas. And division game, NFC East game. Commanders are coming off a hard-fought win against the Bears, who probably, the Commanders probably should have lost that game in a rainy night in Chicago. Or was it in Maryland? I think it was in Maryland, actually. Sorry. Commanders are on the road at the Cowboys. Give me the Cowboys in that one. Cowboys response, they're going to respond after this win off the Panthers, and they'll be motivated and ready to go in the division game. Javonte Williams, again, he's Dallas's running back. He's, I believe, the number four top guy in terms of rushing yards in the league right now. Saints at Bears. Bears continue to cruise. They get the win against a struggling Saints organization. Raiders at Chiefs. Ooh. Big rivalry. I think Raiders Chiefs is an underrated rivalry, especially because the Raiders have struggled the last couple years. It's at Arrowhead, so that's going to be really tough for Vegas and Pete Carroll. Ashton Jeanty seems to have come back into his own. He's readopted the Michael Meyer stance, and his stats have skyrocketed since then. Oh, man. And the Chiefs, if the Chiefs win this, everyone's going to be like, oh, they're back to the best team in the league. They're going to win the Super Bowl. Oh, my God. It burns me up, boy. Everybody wants to say that the NFL wants Taylor Swift on the screen, so they're boosting this narrative. You know what I mean? Make more money that way or whatever. My buddy's a Lions fan, and he was like, dude, this shit is so rigged. They couldn't have the Chiefs drop to 2-4 or whatever the record was. Anyway, man, this is the pick of the week that I hope I am wrong on. Okay, give me the Chiefs. They're at home. But again, division game, anything can happen. I really hope that I'm incorrect there. The home field is what does it for me. If it was in Vegas, I would go with the Raiders. Fuck. Didn't the Colts just play the Chargers? No, that was the Rams. That's the other thing. I find out a lot of people, like girls especially, that don't really, they're not tapped into football like that. They always get the Chargers and the Rams mixed up. And it kind of bugs me, but I just did it. So Colts at Chargers. Damn. So they went to L.A. to play the Rams a couple weeks ago, and now they're coming back to L.A. like 3 weeks later to play the Chargers. I think Chargers take that one, and it really pisses me off because all these Justin Herbert Glazers trying to compare him to Burrow for no reason because Burrow's got all this real estate. That's my doggy snout at the bottom. You see my doggy? Yeah, you guys see him in the shorts feed there. Hello, puppy. Would you like to come up in my lap, puppy? Come on. Come here. No, he knows when the camera's on. It's weird. Yeah, give me the Chargers in that one against the Colts at home. Colts fans will definitely show out. Like I said, L.A. fans, they can't even get half of their stadium full with their own fans. It's pretty sad. Giants at Broncos. Give me the Giants. Giants are looking sharp defensively. They've got some buzz in the building with the exciting whites. Give me the Giants to keep rolling. I think the NFL's got an interest in those boys being at the forefront as well. Packers at Cardinals. Gross. That's going on 20 minutes west of where I sit. I bet tickets to that game are astronomical. I remember when I was working in Indy for the Colts, selling tickets for them, we started selling for the next season after our season ended, and we had the Packers on the schedule, and the ticket prices for that game alone, the interest for that game alone was sky high. Packers fans, they're everywhere. Packers and Packers, Steelers, and Cowboys are three organizations that if you talk to 10 of their fans, 8 of them are not going to be from Pittsburgh, Green Bay, or Dallas. 8 out of 10. It's the most annoying thing. I think I've ranted about this on the show already. If you are from Cincinnati, no, let's not pick on. If you are from, let's think. If you're from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and you're a Steelers fan, stop. You know, any Bengals fan you talk to is going to be somewhere from Ohio or our general area. I'm from Lexington, Kentucky, our south, right? So there'll be all these Phoenix-based Packers fans in the building for that. It's freaking perverse, dude. It's perverse. It violates every aspect of culture that I love about what this game does for communities. I hope that came out. I feel like that kind of came out retarded. Give me the Packers. Like, Cardinals are ass. And that's what bugs me, too, is like,
we know that this game on Sunday, Packers at Cardinals, is going to be like 50%, 60% Packers fans. But if the Cardinals were good, how many more Phoenix locals, and I'm calling out the people of the city I live in, how many more Phoenix locals would be wearing red instead of green? It's very vapid. Pisses me off. It's about culture and community. Don't violate my shit, boy. Rep the team where you grew up in. Rep the team that's from the place you grew up in. Quit it with all that, man. Quit it. Okay. Falcons at Niners. Atlanta's playing well. That's going to be a fun one to watch. I think that's going to be a really good game. Falcons and Niners should be close. Should be competitive. Give me the Niners at home. Bucks at Lions. That's the game of the week right there, boys. Bucks at Lions. So I think the most competitive games of the week are going to be Bucks at Lions, Falcons at Niners, Colts at Chargers will be competitive. And in terms of football quality, organizational quality, team quality, those are the three games I'd look out for. Texans at Seattle. Give me the Seahawks. They keep rolling. Two teams I haven't watched much of this year so far. Okay, college football, SEC slate. God damn, we're at 56 minutes. We'll roll through this, and then we're going to send you guys off. We're going to go watch the Miami versus Louisville game on a Friday night for whatever reason. LSU at Vandy. When did we ever think that this game would be a conversation? When did we ever think that this game has a chance to be competitive? Well, we're here, and it's at Vandy. Give me LSU. Oklahoma at South Carolina. It'll be interesting to see how Oklahoma responds. They're on the road against a South Carolina program that is struggling mightily. Shane Beamer might be on the hot seat after a couple more weeks here if they keep losing. So that'll be an interesting narrative to follow there. Does Oklahoma bounce back, or does South Carolina beat them in yet another trap game? I think Oklahoma wins. John Matera will continue to get better as his thumb on his throwing hand recovers. Take Oklahoma there. Ole Miss at Georgia. That's going to be a fun one. I'm excited. I love the Rebels. We love the Rebels. You know, Oxford feels like a second or third or fourth or fifth home to me. But I think Georgia's going to be too much for them at home. Georgia hands Ole Miss their first loss. And everybody's going to come. All the Big Ten people are going to come out. Ole Miss is still top 25 after losing on the road to Georgia. They're still in the top 25, and Washington's not ranked. Shut the fuck up. Ole Miss would run the table in the Big Ten. Georgia wins that one. Mississippi State at Florida. I am hearing from trusted sources, and I'm not just saying this. I have a trusted source in college football that has told me and our immediate group of friends that win or lose, Billy Napier will be out at Florida this weekend. That is from a confirmed source within college football who's been on coaching staffs before. Billy Napier is out, win or lose, at Florida this weekend. Book that. Mississippi State wins on the road in Gainesville. Texas at Kentucky. Texas. A&M at Arkansas. A&M. Tennessee at Alabama. This is another fun one. Primetime game at Bryant Denny Stadium at Saban Field in Tuscaloosa. Alabama wins this. They stay hot. Tennessee's good, but they're not on the same level as Bama. Give me Alabama. Give me Alabama! Okay. And then the last game of the week we'll cover, and I'll send you guys off. Missouri Tigers at Auburn. I see Auburn getting a win at home in the Plains. You know, I haven't watched much of Missouri. They've got a great running back. They've got that Penn State transfer quarterback, Bo Perbula. And then the running back's first name is Ahmad, transfer kid. I could be wrong. Auburn played Georgia pretty tight at home last week. I think they get the win against Missouri this weekend. All right, it's been a fun show. I got to let you guys go. We're right at about an hour. We will see you guys back on Monday. Depending on what kind of plans develop for me tonight, you might see us live playing Madden on this very channel. So if I could take an inch, I appreciate everybody watching, but if I could take an inch and turn it into a mile, and you're not subscribed already, I would love to ask you to subscribe to the channel so we continue to grow this thing, continue to spread the good word so that I can hire some damn help on the set here. You know what I'm saying? So greatly appreciate you guys watching. We would really appreciate it if you hit that subscribe button right there in the shorts feed. I think it's like right. No, it's down here. It's down here, right? Can't see it. All right. Anyway, love and blessings to everybody. Really appreciate it. We will see you guys either on Madden later tonight or on the show around 6-ish, 6:30-ish Eastern, Monday through Friday, every single weekday. Love you guys. And again.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.